to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise. Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining Eidelman Unplugged. My name is Pastor Shane Eidelman, and I am here with Senior Pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, Paul Chappell, also the President of West Coast Bible College, all in my area of Lancaster, California. And he's somebody I've looked up to for many years. I used to listen to his radio program and still do, actually, if I get up early enough. Just been such a blessing to our community. I was actually raised here. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I was born at Antelope Valley Hospital. So I was born here. This has been my life. And I know the fruit has been amazing from your ministry. And I just want to talk briefly about maybe some tips that you might have, maybe for leadership, maybe for those who are, you know, going through some difficult times, and just see what God wants to do.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on, Shane, and I appreciate you and your ministry. And it's good to have brothers in Christ who are in the ministry that stand on the same page when it comes to some of the moral shifting in our society and in our city. And we're blessed, really, in some ways, in the Antelope Valley. As you know, we've had some good churches and leaders, but with the changing of the times, both with the wokeness in the culture and now affecting churches, voices right. like yours are needed more than ever. And so thanks for your partnership in the ministry, especially as salt and light in our community.
And I think boldness is contagious. You know, well, I hear others right. being bold, and it kind of prompts me. Plus, you know, submitting to the work of the Spirit and wanting to just make a difference in our culture. And if you read the Word and you say, God, use me, there's no other, the byproduct is boldness, especially for what's going on in our culture today.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, 1 Timothy says, in the last day, perilous times shall come, and, you know, men shall be lovers of their own selves, and they're not going to want the preaching. They're going to want teachers who itch their, you know, scratch their ears. And we're seeing that in the church world. And then it also speaks in the scriptures about a falling away or an apostasy before the Antichrist is revealed. And so we right. see this falling away from the truth. And I think one thing that we need to do today is encourage one another to stand for truth. And that's right. something that we can do through our churches, through social media, like you're doing.
What would be like your top three takeaways for a believer if they're not feeling that passion? They don't know what to do. They don't know if they can make a difference. They're kind of feeling defeated. You look around the news. I mean, it's easy to feel that way.
A lot of people are defeated, and as you know, a lot of people are kind of running from the battle, so to speak. And I think the three challenges that I would give to them would be, first of all, to deepen their faith in the Word of God. You know, your beliefs determine your behavior. And if you believe right. that God's Word is clear on subjects like where life begins, or what marriage is, or the rights of a parent over a child, then you see this socialism and communism that's being right. pushed upon us from Sacramento. Those convictions become like spark plugs, and convictions are the spark plugs that move the whole engine. So if someone doesn't have, first of all, basic Bible convictions, they're not going mm-hmm. to know how to move forward. And then secondly, they need to be in a strong Bible preaching church where those convictions are being fine-tuned and encouraged. And then thirdly, they need to walk in the power of the Spirit. The Bible commands us in Ephesians 5:18, as you know, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And there are five commandments in the Bible relative to the Holy Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. We're not to quench the Spirit. And we're not to grieve the Spirit. And when a person right. has the Word of God filling up their mind and the Holy Spirit of God filling up their life, they will speak at the right moment. They can't be silent.
Right.
And and this is, you know, what the Lord has called us to do. Primarily, we're to speak about the gospel, to preach the death, burial, and resurrection. But then when there's something that's so contrary to truth, then a Christian must speak. And I saw today that Scotland is passing or proposing a bill on April the 1st to declare any speaking out against sinful lifestyles as hate speech, with as much as a 7-year jail term accompanying that. I don't know what the future holds here in our country. You know, we both study these things. I just feel like it's time for Christians to get really rooted in their right. in their convictions. And COVID was probably like a practice round for all of that, and we'll have more challenges ahead.
That's true. And that was Trudeau who said that in Canada? Is that what you said? Who's trying to pass that bill in April?
Scotland, April 1st.
Oh, Scotland. Wow. All were Daniel Rowlands and Hal Davis and those famous Welsh revivals
That's
came
right.
from. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And there's a remnant. Well, there's a remnant of believers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But you hit something that's so important is the reason a lot of people are what you call lukewarm or carnal or not standing up for the truth is because they don't have the truth of God's word in them. So as you're taking that truth, it's what flows out. And if people want to get bold, they want to get prepared, like I think it's 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy, that there will be a strong delusion, right? Deceiving spirits will lead people away. And the only way to lead them away is because they're not grounded. If you're grounded in the truth and that's your anchor, you know, you're not going to blow away being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You're grounded in that truth.
That's right. And it also says, and I'm getting my 1st and 2nd Timothy's mixed up too. I think it's 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to check myself. Yeah. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "In the last days perilous times shall come." And the word perilous means an unraveling from the top to the bottom. And that's what we're watching. I mean, who would have ever thought that we would have a president and a governor who proposed legislation to pay for the mastectomy of a 10-year-old girl? Who would have ever thought that such an unraveling morally would come from the top down? And then we see, even in major denominations in America, pastors who, instead of condemning it, want a dialogue about it. And, you know, this is where we need prophets who will stand up and cry aloud and speak the truth. And I'm not talking about hateful or angry. We minister at our church to every segment of this society, but we're going to tell them what the Bible really says on the various issues.
Right. And on that point, what do you think about all these, you know, I talk to mainly a lot of woke pastors, but you know, that we shouldn't be involved in these political things. That's not our job. I mean, I know my thoughts, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, first of all, to me, it's not about being involved in political issues. It's about finding people that are more closely aligned to what the Bible says and trying to encourage them.
Right.
It's about speaking out on the biblical issues. So, you know, when we have meetings with our elected officials, you know, we're ambassadors to them. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know what the Bible says. And as I interface with our leaders, I view that my responsibility right there is to be a soul winner. It is to be a preacher and a teacher.
Yep.
And so that's not political to me. That's ministry to me. And if I stand up and preach against abortion, or if I preach that marriage is to be between a man and a woman, and if that causes someone to align with the more conservative alignment politically, so be it. But my number one goal is to be true to my calling. And I think it was our second president, Adams, who said, "It is the duty of the clergy to accommodate their discourses to the sins of the day." So there was a time when our politicians really felt like they needed the pastor's input. And wise politicians still feel that way.
Oh, absolutely. And it's ironic though, those people who say we need to stay out of politics, they're fine if we say something that lines up with their narrative, right? If you're supporting what they believe in, oh yeah, then it's okay. But I think it's because we're calling out sin and we're calling these people to give account.
And you know, really wokeness is weakness. That's all it is. And if you want to know what wokeness is, it's classic liberalism with a different term. You know, the liberal theologian says, they say the Bible is not the inspired word of God, but it is inspiring. Well, we believe the Bible is a God-breathed book. We don't believe it's just like Shakespearean poetry, but the liberal always has a way. And they'll talk about the gospel, but they'll say the gospel is where you redeem the culture. Well, I believe the gospel is where souls are redeemed. People's lives are changed. Mm-hmm. It's not about social justice. The justice that we preach is found at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'm against racism, but the idea of elevating people because of their intersectionality or because of critical race theory, which is just reverse discrimination, all of that is a social narrative that I refuse to preach because God's called me to preach the Bible, you know. And churches that are preaching that narrative are liberal churches that have gone weak.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know what I found is, you know, social justice, we have the same feelings, of course, but all these aspects of social justice will come out in a biblical sermon anyway. You'll hit on racism, inequality, and you'll hit on that as you're teaching through the Bible. And so if you look deeper, a lot of these guys, it's not, it actually is reverse racism. I've said that before. I'm glad you've said that because they're, I had pastor friends of mine who would apologize for being white. Like I don't even understand where this comes from, but it's a lot of them are not in the word and they'll start to say things like, you know, well, oh, go ahead.
It came from Harvard. It came out of Harvard. And it's, you know, I got to tell you, there was a great book a couple years ago written by Vivek Ramaswamy. And I thought, why did the Hindu guy have to be the guy to get it right? But he did. And the book was entitled Woke Inc. And in that book, Woke Inc., he began to tell us about ESG, which is environmental social governance. And he began to tell us about the DEI, you know, the diversity, equity, and inclusion departments. And yesterday I saw a little clip that came out of, I think it was out of Mayo Clinic in Phoenix, where their hiring standards were listed. And they said, you know, if you are this, 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 and this, and it was all about, you know, various different sexual preferences and racial issues, then we want to hire you. And I'm telling you, when they start hiring surgeons and airplane pilots based upon intersectionality rather than based upon qualifications, it's going to cost lives in this country.
It's terrible. They even listed if you're hard of hearing or bad eyesight in the Mayo Clinic. I mean, it's just the list was so ridiculous. But without the Spirit of God, you've got strong delusions. And I share the tweet that you sent out about Planet Fitness, you know, allowing, and I know of a lot of people who canceled their membership and then of course Budweiser and things like that. But what's happening is you nailed it. This social credit score, these people are thinking long term. So they lose business now, but they're thinking long term of lining up with what is coming because as you know, there's major corporations that own everything. You know, Blackstone or BlackRock and Vanguard, and they're the main shot callers right now.
Well, you know, it really comes back to developing a biblical worldview. I wrote a curriculum with my son a few years ago called Avoiding Confusion, and it's a curriculum for seniors in high school, and it deals with creationism, and it deals with the family, and it deals with gender identity, and a lot of the hot button topics. And what we did is took those topics and then we said, now here's what the Bible says. And fundamentally, getting back to that question of getting involved in politics, even though I might speak out against some of these social justice ideologies, the reason is because it is so opposite of Scripture. Jesus does not get into the group think from the standpoint of, okay, you're from this group, so you're right or wrong. We're all going to stand before the Lord individually. And people need to be made aware of that. And we're not going to get credits at the judgment seat. We're not going to get credits at the great white throne based upon what group we came from. It's going to be based upon, did we obey the Bible or not? And so, you know, we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof. And God wants us to be faithful to his word as pastors. And when I start preaching something other than his word, I'm not fulfilling my calling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's people like you and others who have motivated me to really help stand the ground because, you know, because when I read the Bible, the more time I'm sure you're the same way, the more time I spend with God praying and fasting and worshiping and reading the word, the bolder I become.
Right.
It's like, and the more I get busy and away from the more woke, not woke, but you know, the weaker we become to stand up for what is true. So it's that intimacy with God. It's that filling of the Holy Spirit that is so important that you said earlier.
It is. And I feel like so many of our young families today and teenagers, especially during COVID, there's been just so many pulls and challenges, and we want to pray and win battles there, and then we want to speak the truth in love and just be the salt and light that God has called us to be. And the Bible says the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. So, we have got to lift up the truth in our day more than ever.
I think that's Timothy again, right?
Yep,
that's right. Good books there on Timothy. So, as a final question, it comes in a lot to our podcast, and I know there's different theological views, of course, but in these end times, there's different end times views: amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial, dispensationalism, preterism, partial preterism. I've studied it all. But the bottom line that we can all agree on is, are we ready? We get so many people wonder about these secondary issues. Are you ready? Do you know Jesus? And that, I think that's the core message that we need to be.
Go ahead. Titus 2:13 says we're to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, in that verse, we do know that we have hope in the coming of Christ. And secondly, it says the great God and our Savior. We do know that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So we preach a very distinct message concerning who Jesus is, that when he died on the cross and shed his blood, that blood is efficacious to cover the sins of whoever believes, because it was the blood of our sinless Savior, and that he was fully God and fully man. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we're looking to him as our blessed hope. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that we're not to sorrow as others who have no hope. We thank the Lord for that. We don't find the church in the book of the Revelation after chapter 3. I do believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, but I agree with you that knowing Christ is the critical issue. Being an eschatological expert is not going to take anyone to heaven, but really turning to Christ and with a heart of repentance and letting our Lord know that we understand we are sinners and that he's the only perfect one, and asking him to come into our lives and save us from our sin and to give us a home in heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. And that's what we're going to be preaching during this resurrection season and throughout the year. So you're right. That's our hope.
That's it. And what I like about a lot of the churches, well, at least some of the churches in our valley, is, people church hop probably more than ever before. And I'll hear, we're at Lancaster Baptist now. And I'm like, I praise God. I mean, at least there's somewhere where, and I don't look as competition, really. I look as complementing each other and where families need to be. And it's just so encouraging for me to have people like you in this area to strengthen the churches. So thank you again.
Well, it is a blessing. And I feel that in our community of the Antelope Valley, the churches have been salt and light. There's a lot of people that have moved in, as you know, from LA, and they need the Lord. And so we have to continue to reach them and start new churches. And also we have to continue relating with those that are our elected officials about how we want this valley to be. LA County would like to dictate their policies. And, when you see the Board of Supervisors and the state level leaders giving plaques to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, men who dress up like nuns and go into churches and disrupt services. So they're not just wanting tolerance of certain lifestyles. Now they're promoting and awarding it. And they've created a commission to help with the establishment of LGBTQ owned businesses. And so we're awarding that lifestyle. And meanwhile, Christian parents are being told, don't you come to the school board meeting and give us your opinion. We don't want to hear it. I really feel like we've got to speak to our politicians and to our church family members about the fact that Christians have a voice and we need to speak up in this day.
Yes. Yes. And actually that's God's, one of his main, I believe one of his main weapons, if we can call it that, Is his word being preached unadulterated in love and in truth? That's how it's sharper than any double-edged sword. That's how you pierce the heart. That's how you change, is you let the word of God come alive in your heart. And that's why the pulpits need to be aflamed with righteousness again.
That's right.
And getting back to that. So thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you? Pastor Paul, is it paulchapel.com?
Paulchapel.com. And that has our devotionals, and it has our schedules and speaking schedule, has our radio schedule, and we're delighted to be on your station here in the Valley. And so probably the best place is paulchapel.com.
Paul Chuck. And I would encourage anybody, if you're near Lancaster, go into their bookstore. A lot of Pastor Paul's books are there, but even we have a lot of the same heroes, you know, Spurgeon, Whitfield, Jonathan Edwards. You know, I'm not a Calvinist per se, but I gravitate towards those solid
revival
Bible teachers. And
right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I just
anyway, thank you so much, Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Shane. And I pray that you guys have a great resurrection weekend, and stay strong. And if I can ever do anything for you guys, holler at me. And Lord bless you.
Sounds great. All right. Thank you guys so much.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Eidelman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidelman.com. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Eidelman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidelman.com. Again, that's shaneidelman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality and Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.